Before we start the next section of the Baal Tanya's Maimon of Amilu Doi Nivdeinu, let's just look at the Kitzur on page Yud Zayin. It's always good to just let's chazer for a second, let's review for a second the last section on page Yud Zayin, and then we'll move on to the next chelik. So we learned, Inyan, where it says Kitzur Parag Beis, Inyan Ha'ariz Yigimu Midas Ha'achimim, Ba'avadis Ha'adam, Hu'ariz Panim Ha'al-Yenim, we learned that what is the meaning of the illumination of the 13 midas of Hashem's rachman in terms of our avodas Hashem? So we learn that Hashem's baruch reveals panim ha'elyonim, meaning pnimius v'tzanius baruch. We learned, we spent a lot of time talking about the inner will, pnimius ha'rotzen, and chitzanius ha'rotzen. So Hashem reveals his inner love, his inner rotzen and will, depending upon the pnimius lev ha'adam. When a person reveals to Hashem, when the human being reveals his pnimius ha'lev, his inner will and his inner heart to Hashem, then that causes a beautiful relationship of yoyer Hashem panav elecha, that Hashem will shine his face to us. That Hashem should shine kivyochel his face towards us depends upon each and every one of us turning towards him with the depths of our hearts in a real way. How do we show our love for Hashem? How do we turn towards him? Mesiras nefesh. It's always mesiras nefesh. By sacrificing, not having to sacrifice, God forbid, one's life, but all different levels of mesiras nefesh for Hashem, which is shemavatel kol ritzayneisav el kadosh baruch hu bli shum tam v'das. What's mesiras nefesh? A person can have mesiras nefesh 100 times a day. It's when you feel like doing something, you want very, very much to do something, you have a taiva for something, a desire for something, and there's no real rational reason why you shouldn't indulge in that taiva. The only reason that you're not going to do what you feel like doing is because Hashem said not to. That's it. There's no other reason. Everything inside of you is saying do this, and the only voice inside of you that says don't do it is Hashem. That's called Mesiras Nefesh. That's like dying, for Hashem's sake. So when the person does that, Shemavatel is kol ritzonosav, this is a practical way how we get show love to Hashem. Everybody's always wondering, what does it mean to love Hashem? I don't know how to love Hashem. What does that mean? We're not talking about the emotion of feeling love or being in love, but this is how one demonstrates love and engages the pnimius ha'rotzen, his inner will in the service of Hashem, through Mesiras Nefesh, being mevatel his own rotzen, because of Hashem's will, without understanding, bli shum tam v'das. I don't have to know why. If you explain to me later, that's nice. If I don't know why, if I never know why, if I live to 120, no one ever explains to me why, that's okay. Zo gam perish Hashem Yisrael, and that's contained in the name Yisrael, Asius Sar Aleph Lamed, which means what? That this quality of Aleph Lamed rules over a Jew. Aleph Lamed, that midah hu hanitzotz elokisha benavsho. Aleph Lamed means the godly spark, that godliness inside of each Jew that gives us the ability to what? To nullify our own personal desires and will, which everybody in the world goes by what he wants. A Jew has the ability to nullify what he wants, to nullify his own personal desire, and do what Hashem wants. How is that possible? Because we have in us the Aleph Lamed. And Sar El, Yisrael, Sar El means that this Aleph Lamed, which is the spark of godliness in a Jew, ultimately rules over the inner life of who a Jew is. Sar means a Moshe, like a ruler, a Sar, a minister, a ruler. Shesho Shem Hashem Aleph Lamed, Hi Hamid Arisham Yudgim Midas Harachman. This Aleph Lamed is the first of the 13 Midas Harachman, of the 13 attributes of Hashem's loving kindness. It's the beginning. Hamor Alas Galas Ar Ainsar Baruchu Mamish. Aleph Lamed means that the infinite light of God is Mamish, revealed in the depths of every single Jew. Mamish. Vishem Aleph Lamed Hu Sar Umoishal Bekerva Odom, we learned. That this name, Aleph Lamed, which is the beginning of the 13 meters, is a Sar and a Moishal Bekerva Odom. It rules over the inner essence of a Jew. That's why he could live that way of Mesiras Nefesh. Lefish nitzodzehu atzmus ha-nefesh ha-mechayis kula. Because this is the actual essence, kivyachal, of Hashem himself. As we learn, that, you remember at the end we were talking about how the light of the sun and the sun itself are really indistinguishable, just intensity, they're different. The light of the sun isn't as intense as the sun, but it's the same thing. Right? The heat that comes from the fire, or the light that comes from the fire, be'etzim, is the same thing. It's just an intensity, it's softer. And because we have this spark of godliness inside of us, we have this ability to nullify our will for the sake of Hashem as well. Okay, now, let's go. Page Yud Ches, the third section of the Maamar. Inside each and every one of us. The Rebbe's coming back now. You recall the beginning of the Maamar. He was talking about how during the month of Elul, when there's this illumination of the 13 meters, then Hashem is like a king who goes out to the field, you remember? He goes out to the field, and we are makabel panav, and he shows us a smiling face, and he's open to us, kivyachol, and we go out and we greet him in the field. And we have access to Hashem during this time. The Rebbe says that inside each and every one of us, there are three dimensions in each and every one of us, or three ways that each and every one of us lives. There is that bechina that's called Ir Moishav, the city in which one dwells, the city. There's a bechina sada, there's a field inside each Jew, and there's a bechina of midbar, of a desert. Midbar, hi eretz lo zerua. The midbar, of course, a midbar means, like the Navi says, a midbar, a desert, is a place which is not fertile, it's not there's nothing planted there, it's desolate. And what is that? In the life of a person, what's called the desert in the life of a person? Shehem ha-maisim v'ha-diburim v'ha-machshavis ha-shalo la-shem hema. There's a famous poem, Lahavdil, written by a great American poet called Desert Places. And in that poem, those of you who have a little bit of a background in that might remember that was from Robert Frost, Lahavdil between that which is holy and unholy. So this poem called, I believe it's from him, I mean, I don't know, it says 30 years ago, I don't know, but I think it's him. So in that poem, Desert Places, so what the poet was writing is that it's not necessary for me to go, I mean, there are deserts in this world, but where a person can try to travel through. But he says, but I have in my own heart, in my own mind, there's an unbelievable vast wilderness, this terrible desert inside of me. So, lahavdil between the impure and the holy, the Baal Tanya says that inside a person, in the life of a Jew, there's that quality that's called the desert, the midbar. What does that mean? It means those maisem, those actions, those diburim, those words, v'amachshavas, and those thoughts, ashalo l'Hashem hema, they're not for Hashem. Meaning Hashem Yisbarach created us with the ability to think, speak, and act in a way which will draw him into this world. That's called a dwelling place, as he's going to say in a minute. That was the tachlis of our being. That's the tachlis of our being here, that Hashem Yisbarach should be able to live in our lives with us together. When a person's thoughts, words, or actions are not towards Hashem, are not for Hashem's sake, so that's called a desert, an unfertile place in the person's life, a time in the person's life, a way of living. Ashalol Hashem Heim, and the Rebbe says, Ein Sarach Laim Pogam B'machshava Dibur Ma'is. Obviously, the Rebbe says it's obvious that if, God forbid, a Jew is doing things that are wrong, that are aveiros, either he's pogam, he's chas v'sholom, he's chas v'shalom having thoughts that are damaging, thoughts that are against Hashem's will, or saying words that are forbidden, or doing things, ma'isim, that are forbidden. Ein sarach loyma, obviously that's called a desert. Ela afilo gam in yonei heter. The Tanya says, even in yonei heter, even those things that are permitted, rak shehem in yonim she'enim tzrichim la'avodas Hashem, things that are permitted, but he's a person exercises, a person sleeps, a person eats. These are things that are permitted, but it's not being done for the sake of serving Hashem. It's not being done. These things are being done not with the intention of serving Hashem. That means that with not with the intention for which we were created, to make our lives a dwelling place, a city settled by Hashem. Then it's called a midbar. It's called a desert. Nothing garnish. It's not an aveira. If a person sits around and is schmoozing with a friend and he's not saying any words that are halachically forbidden, stop. He's spends 3 hours talking about the weather. They're still about the weather. They have on the radio things, there's a weather station. I never heard it, but someone told me it's, I think, 24 hours, just about the weather. I never really understood that. You can go outside in a minute and figure it out. There's 24 hours, there's about the weather. Or you have, there's 24 hours sports. How much can you talk about? You know, he puts his sneakers on like this, and this one, what deodorant he uses, this maneuver. No, how much can a person talk about it? 24 hours, round the clock, me'eis la'eis, lo'y sichbe, just sports. It's a pellet, right?
Restaurant.
Huh? There's a special station just for...
No, people talk hours about restaurants.
Sure, food is, believe me, food is important. Well, you're right, people will talk about what they eat. Look, all they have to do is eat. People talk about, and you know who talks most about eating? The ones who are on diets. The ones who are not supposed to be eating talk the most about eating. We understand. It's on their minds. Since it can't be in their stomachs, it's on their minds. So he says these things that... And he says, so what? It's not a veira. A person can't talk about food. You can talk about food all day. Well, yeah, it's not a veira. A person can't talk about the weather. Can't talk about playing ball. There's nothing. What is it? There's no tachlis. Huh? Dvarim b'teilim is bittul Torah. So let's say so someone is not chayav to learn, right? A woman is not chayav to learn. It's dvarim b'teilim. Dvarim b'teilim. You're right. It's true. Anytime that a person is able to learn, he's not learning, so it's bittul Torah. That is true. But let's say in those thoughts or in those words, there's no mice, there's no avera quality, with the exception of the fact that you're right, that he should be learning. Which means it's not the way of the king to be involved in Narishkeit. It's not the way of the king. It's not the king's mahalach to be. It's not the king's not interested in what? The king's not interested in milu dehediyaita, which means everyday things, stam. It doesn't interest the king. Milu dehediyaita. That's the lashon of the Zohar Kodesh. The king is not involved in these kind of things. That's called a desert. It's not inhabited by God. Those things in your life that are not inhabited by godliness, that are not filled with godliness, or not for that purpose of revealing godliness, that's called a midbar. It's called a desert. V'zehu ashelo yoshav adam sham, and that is the meaning of the pasuk over there in the second. In fact, the same pasuk, the same parak in Yirmiyo, the second parak in Yirmiyo. It means what? Ashelo yoshav adam sham, that no person dwells in that place. That no person dwells there. What person are we referring to? Adam. Perish. Adam hu kemoisha kosef. In the vision of Yecheskel at the beginning, right? In the Maisei Merkava, in the workings of the chariot. Adam hu kemoisha kosef al dmus hakise dmus kemara Adam. It says in the Navi, that upon the throne there was sitting the image that resembled a man, Dmus Kemara Adam, which means that the Shechina, the divine presence, was envisioned by Yechezkel in such a way, in the vision of a person sitting upon the throne. We'll see more in the Perush what that has to, why is that, why is Hashem, why is the vision of a person sitting on the throne? Obviously we know that the human being here in this world is created in the image of God, so therefore that sur of the Adam, of a human being, is the one in the vision of Yechezkel that's by the throne. But it means the Shechina. The Shechina is described in such a way in the vision of Yechezkel as what? As Adam, Aldmus Hakise, Dmus Kemar Adam, Lo Yashav Sham. So when it says in the Navi, Ashe lo yashav Adam Sham, it means anything in your life in which God is not dwelling is called a midbar. That's what says in Navi. Ashe lo yashav Adam Sham. A person doesn't live in the desert. It's not a place for living. Who is the person? The Adam? The Adam, Kemara Adam, is the Shechina, is the divine presence. Al Dmus Hakisei Dmus Kemara Adam Lo Yoshev Sham. Any aspect of your life where the Shechina does not dwell, is uninhabited by God, that's called the Midbar Desert. Kiva Osu Li Mikdash V'Shechanti B'Soichem K'siv. Because it says in the Torah, and it was explained by the Alshech HaKadosh, and by many other mafarshim, especially from Chazal, that when it says va'osi lemikdash, it means each and every one of us has been commanded to make our lives into what? Into a mikdash, into a holy sanctuary, v'shachanti v'saychem, in which Hashem can dwell. In other words, the tachlis is that you and I, all of us, are supposed to be completely inhabited with godliness, and our lives are supposed to be led in godly ways. Even he's not saying you have to go to work. Well, of course you go to work. He's not saying not to eat and drink, and he's not saying not to get some exercise. But it has to be, with all of these things, it has to be inhabited by God. Or else it's called a midbar, a desert. That's called a midbar. This is ultimately leading to the inyan of what does it mean to receive Hashem in the field. So we're talking about the Midbar, the desert, and the Soda, the field and the city. So first we're learning about the Midbar. What does it mean when a person lives in the desert, or the desert lives in the person? So he explains, Inyan HaMoshel, the Melech Be'ir or Melech Besada, the fact that in the Moshel that the Tanya began this Maimer with, that the king goes out from the city and he meets the people out in the fields, that's what the Inyan of the 13 Midas is and the month of Elul. So he says, Inyan HaMoshel, the Melech Be'ir or Melech Besada, Moir al Shnei Matzavim Ba'avoyda Sa'odim L'Kainai. This is teaching us two different ways that a person relates to Hashem. Well, here, of course, he's talking about Midbar also. He begins with talking about that there are three ways, but that's not a way of relating. That's disengaging. The Midbar means I'm not relating. Then there are two levels of city and field in which the person is having a relationship with Hashem. The Midbar is when there's no relationship. It's desolate. So ir hi mokem moishav v'diras b'nei adam. A city is where people live. Hu b'nimshol hainu kishah adam hu b'matzav shahor eloki. It means in the nimshol. It means when a person lives in such a way where the light of Hashem, that godly light, umela gam hanitzayt elokisha b'nashu, means that spark of godliness that we were talking about in the last parak, shoychen bo begilui. When godliness dwells within a person in a way that is revealed and known and felt and obvious, that's called the city. And we know that, and we sense that, and we feel it when a person is Isaac Binyani Kedusha, particularly, especially when a person is what? When a person is learning, became a mitzvah, he's doing mitzvahs of Arisat Tefillah. He's davening. At those times of the day, when the person is learning, davening, doing mitzvahs, it's very clear and obvious that what? at this moment of the day, Hashem's Baruch, he's relating to Hashem's Baruch as what? As in the city, where the city is inhabited by God. So every moment of learning and davening and mitzvahs, even if the person doesn't have the highest intentions, but still it's called a dwelling place, a city where God dwells. Mashenikin Sada, a field. Marira al Maimud Amatav Shalchol. Now a field is or a field is where godliness is not openly revealed. Shein ha'elokus begilui b'siyashvus sham. People don't live in the field. They go to work in the field, but they don't live there. Then of course, as far as that's concerned, we have the person who is even more removed from that inhabitants of God, which is the Midbar, the desert, Eretz Lo Zerua, which is not planted at all. At least the field is growing, there's something there. But this is the Midbar, the desert is Eretz Lozer, Hamora, Al Hamaisim, Vahadibur, Machshavos, Asher Lo LaShem Hema. The field, we'll talk about the field a little bit more later, but Eretz Lozer, the desert, are those moments in the person's day, or in the person's life, where the actions, the words, and the thoughts are either Chas V'Shalom against Hashem, or a way of rebelling against Hashem, or bechlal nata Hashem, she'ein sham shum zriyut smicha shel or hakedusha. There isn't the slightest trace or presence of anything holy that's growing in that thought, in that word, in that action. It's stam.
And that's not even an avail, or that's still by the mukta? You're in the midbar, we said, but it's still
even with something which is a dvar rishus,
and it's still against Hashem.
No, it's just not for Hashem. I mean, Hashem doesn't live in that.
But you said rebelling.
Well, that. That's Eretz. There are two levels we learn. The Rebbe says that when it comes to Midbar Eretz Lo Zerua, the first is what? Even if it's Lo LaShem Hema, even if it's something which is not devoted to Hashem, and the Rebbe says Ein Sarach Loimer. Certainly, if it's against Hashem, right? Against Hashem. So a person that says Lashon Hara, so that's against Hashem, certainly that's a desert, but even if the person stopped talking Irish, it's Lo LaShem Hema, that's a Midbar. It's a desert, it's deserted. And he brings down, that's in 26, Eretz Lo Zerua means, you see in 26, by Mekyoyser, the Rebbe Yehuda Lashom used to talk about this a lot, that Eretz Lo Zerua, when it says a place that is not planted, the Rebbe used to explain it means when it's against Hashem, the Midbar is called a place where Lo is planted. Yeah? Where that which is against God is planted. That's very scary. That's not just that a person like has a taiva. There's such a thing as a Jew who has made a shita. You know, he's made his life's objective to do a various God forbid. That the Lo, the negative, is zerua. You have sometimes in a home got where there's a lot of negativity, where it's a terrible thing, but there's also a lot of good stuff. But there's negativity also. But then you have a home, a chas v'shalom, where there's a shita, where you have a parent, where the lo is zerua, where it's not that sometimes the parent is negative or the parent says no, but the lo is zerua. It's like it's planted in there. That's what the Rebbe Yehuda Shalom used to say. Eretz Lo Zahinu, Eretz Shezur Sham B'chinas Lo, in Yonim Shlidim, that there are negative things. Hepech HaKedusha. The opposite of holiness is planted in that place. Eretz Lo Zeruah. The Midbar could be such a terrible situation that the Lo is Zeruah. That the negative, the destructive, is planted in that place. Back in the parish. Certainly, the Rebbe, certainly the Tanya explains when it's something which is mamish, pagam in machshava, if it's an impure thought or word or action. But even if it's something which is permitted, it's just not for Hashem. Who below la Hashem hema. So he explains that when it says Eretz lo zeru, that the desert is thoughts, words, and actions that are not for Hashem. Nechlolim lo rak dvar masurim Hashem. That's included in that is not only things that are absolutely forbidden. Elagam in yonei heter, even things that are permitted. She'ein behem tzarech ba'avodas Hashem. But they're not necessary. There's no need for them in the service of Hashem. V'chein dvarim b'taylim. Stam dvarim b'taylim. Nothing. Gornish. Dvarim b'taylim. L'fishalav urcha d'malke l'shtoy b'milsen d'ed yoyte what? Which means, ein zed darkel shal melech lasik b'divri hedyat. A king, it's not the way of a king to be involved in divri hedyat, in common things and everyday things in Arishkai. V'nyana b'ruchnis. What does that mean in spirituality? Ein ha-kadosh baruch hu yochel esgalas ba'odam ha'isik b'divri chol. It's called a desert in that person's life because Hashem is not revealed. There is no inhabitants of godliness in this person's mundane actions. K'she'en lo kavan l'shem shemayim. Of course, mundane means that his intention is not for the service of Hashem. She'avil to'elos b'avad Hashem for the purpose of serving Hashem, which everybody knows is a tremendous yesod in all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students to that eating and everyday common things can be the greatest opportunities for drawing Hashem into our lives. But that's not what the Rebbe's talking about. The Rebbe's talking about the guy just eats because he eats. Or the guy Stam is, playing ball because he's just trying to have, he wants to have a good time. But there's b'chlal no kavana that it should be l'avodas Hashem. So that's called a desert because it's deserted by God. It's deserted. There is no godliness in that. And that's the meaning of Asher lo yoshev adam sham, that man does not dwell in that place. But here, man is hinting to the divine presence. The zera ha-perish, the zera ha-perish ha-pnimi b'kosu b'midbar v'lo yoshev adam sham. The desert is defined as a place where no man dwells. Adam koyel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam here is hinting to the supernal man, which means what? Adam ha-elyayin. The one above, who's called Hashem, is called that image on the throne, is Adam ha'inkum ha'shakosuv, v'aldmus ha'kisei dmus kemara Adam. Upon the throne, there's the image of a man. Shekash baruch hu nigluli chesklanovi b'dmus kemara Adam. That Hashem revealed himself to the Navi Yecheskel with this in the image of the appearance of an Adam, of a person. Which we're not going to read it right now, but in the footnote 27 he explains, and we know this, we've spoken about this many, many times, that the 10 spheres, the 10 ways of Hashem is Baruch, that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he is mitzamtzem, how he limits and constricts his light, those 10 spheres in the higher world are reflected in the koichas ha-nefesh, in the koichas of a person down below here in this world. And therefore, man who's created in the image of God is commanded to do whatever he's able to resemble the way that Hashem is Baruch acts. And in doing so, each one of his limbs and his organs is refined and is perfected. And that's why in the Kisvei Kabbalah, so in the writings of the Mekubalim, all of the Mishalim that are being used, all of the images that are being used are from the human body. And even those of you who have stumbled across diagrams or whatever, you're leafing through some books that you shouldn't have been looking at, so there are diagrams of the spheres with the different parts of the person, and so somebody who is uninitiated is saying, what is this? This is idolatry? What's going on over here? What is this? God is a person? What is this speaking about? Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Vur, Chesed, Dera Yamina, Ruah, Dera Smaila. What does it mean that Chesed is the right arm, and Hashem has an arm, and Hashem has legs, and Netzach and Hoy, the legs, what is it? Yesod is the bris. It's talking about that correspondence, that mirror image of man and Hashem, the Adam below, is an image, is not, God forbid, there's anything physical above, chas v'chalila. Just that the koichas of the person, the koichas and nefesh, correspond to the spheres above, and therefore when a person uses the right side, which is chesed, and the right arm, the right leg, whatever that means in the spheres, when a person is using his right arm, or he's using the midah of chesed, which is called the right, when he's using that properly, that means that he's perfecting his right arm, or with netzach, hide, the right leg, the left leg, he's perfecting those midas. That is called in the, that is called above Dmus Mara Adam, the image of a human being. It doesn't mean that God forbid there's anything physical about Hashem. It means that man's physical body down below with its karchas and the karchas of his nefesh are a reflection of what? Of the that realm of godliness where Hashem runs all of reality, conducts all of reality according to these 10 spheres. But it doesn't mean chas from anything physical. But this is the vision that Yecheskel had. Is bedmus kemara adam umidbar shelo yoshev adam sham. So when it says in the Navi that the midbar is a place where adam does not live, where man does not live in the desert. The only ones who live in the desert are those who are called in this past parasha para adam. So we don't have to go into that right now, but every single newspaper is filled with stories about how the Pera Adam is causing destruction in the world. Those who are desert dwellers, whether they're in Saudi Arabia or in Kuwait, or whether they're in Gaza on the West Bank, that's the Pera Adam. The Pera Adam, it doesn't say Adam Pera, it says Pera Adam. The Kotzke translates, the correct translation of Pera Adam is not a human being with animal qualities, but it's an animal with human qualities. That's the true translation of Pera Adam. A human-like animal, not an animal-like human. And it's a very big nafki minute. So the Pera Adam has always chosen, as it says in Tanakh, so the Pera Adam has always chosen to live in the desert. However, when it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yoshev Adam Sham, it means that with the exception of the children of Yishmael, human beings do not choose to live in the desert. It's only for a Pera Adam who's an animal, but humans don't live in the desert. So Lo Yoshev Adam Sham, on a higher level, of course, is referring to the Shechina that is called Adam. Haynu Misha in a royal legilui Shechina. And what does that mean in Ruchnius? In Ruchnius, it means a person whose life, unfortunately, is led in such a way where godliness does not dwell in his day to day life. Godliness is not revealed. Ashal Yoshev Adam Sham, because of what he thinks, says, and does, that are not connected to Hashem. Shezuli Avaydus Adam, Lasas Mishkan Machain Leshifli Yisbarach. The tachlis of a person is to make his life, his body, his mind, his heart, his soul, his arms, his legs, everything is supposed to be what? For the purpose of being a Mishkan Machain Leshifli Yisbarach. A dwelling place, a Mikdash, for Hashem, for the Shechina. Kama Shekosev, as it says, for Osu the Mikdash, for Shechanti b'Socham, Kamaim HaChazal, b'Socho lo nemer, ela b'Socham. As it says in the Pasuk, it doesn't say, Shechanti b'Socho. The correct Hebrew would have been in the Pasuk, for Osu the Mikdash, you shall make for me, you shall build a sanctuary, for Shechanti b'Socho, and I will dwell in it. But the Torah doesn't say, v'shachanti v'socho, I will dwell in it, the sanctuary, but I will dwell in them. Which means, as it says, as Chazal, which is brought down by the Ashur Kodesh and Shlach Kodesh, means I will dwell in the life of each and every Jew. To dwell means a city. A city, or at least a field, which we'll talk about soon, but not a desert. Not to be deserted by Hashem. The Zohu Taichen, we're reading the italics. The Zohu Taichen, Inyan He'oriz, Yud Gimel Midas Arachmim, B'Chodesh Elu. And this is the Teichen, this is the meaning of the illumination of the 13 Midas HaRachmim in the month of Elul, in particular, that entire month. Of course, there's an inyan of the 13 Midas HaRachmim throughout the year. That's why we're saying it every single day when we say Tachna. But particularly during the month of Elul, where the whole month is shining with the 13 Midas, Shu k'moshel ha-melech ha-yetzel l'sadeh, which the Tanya said that this is a marshal, they said the marshal of a king who goes out to the field, so that everybody will be able to meet him over there. Not everybody is worthy, not everybody is able to go into the city, but even those who are out in the field can greet the king in the field. The kach benimshel dehayoyish b'nei Yisrael asukim b'inyan echal. That since Bnei Yisrael, the Jews who are asukim b'nyan echal, they're involved in what? In work, going to work. The sod of the field is called the place of work. Chol in yoni chol, there's no aveira. We're not talking about anything that's wrong. But b'nyan echal sod. Einim ru'uyim shani tzoytze loki shebesoichim yizgala b'hem v'oifen kavua. And because of that, it is not, they are not worthy that the godly spark should be revealed ba'ofen kavua, in a set and permanent way, like when the king is living in his palace, in the chamber of the king. Ubefrat in b'meshach hashana nichshel ha'odna b'maisim dibur machshovas eshaloi la'ashem heima. And certainly, how much more so, if in the course of the year the person has failed, and he has used his mind and his mouth and his physical body, his body, to do things that are shaloi l'Hashem Heima, that are not only just being at work or being out in the field, but are keneged, but are against. So the Rebbe, even though he doesn't talk so much, he doesn't make a, you know, he begins by saying that the Midbar has these two qualities of Shaloi Lashem Hema, against Hashem, or rather, it's not with God, and then he says, certainly if it's some things that are against Hashem. Here he speaks about the field as being the neutral ground, where what? Where it's Stam, it's not of holiness. He says, B'meila ain't a royal klal adiris adam ha'elyam. Now, a thought, a word, or an action that is not devoted to Hashem is not fit, therefore, to be a place where the king will live, where the king will dwell. You're not welcoming him in. There's a sign that says on that person's door, God is not welcomed here, right? God is not invited here. In the case of the Midbar, it says, like in stronger terms, out, no God, you know, very nasty. In the case of Asad, it's, you know, in the case of the field, it's not that's forbidden. It's not that God is forbidden to enter. It's just that he's not usually there.
Rebbe,
what's that?
It says you are illegally parked.
Oh, there you go. That's what it is. That's the Midbar. Melanie, it says Elokisha b'hu b'tachlis ha'helim k'dilakamen. Okay. Yes, sir. B'nesinas korech milamalu la'eregam oisim harichaykim b'yoseh. Now Hashem worries about his yidlach. He worries about his Jews that are in the Midbar, and he worries about the Jews that are in the field. He worries about his children. He wants even those who are far, far away, that they should be able to come back to him. One of the main opportunities we have, that great, great time, when Hashem Yisbarach Kivyoch goes out to the field. Now, it doesn't say he goes to the desert. We'll talk about that. But he goes to the field to look for his Yidden over there. The king goes out to the field, even though these Jews are not coming to him. The king goes out to the field, is the month of Elul, which is the 13 Midas HaRachmim. Shai Dezem Meir HaNitzot Tzalaki, which is Aleph Lamed Sheba Adam. Right? Remember we learned in the last Chelek of the Maimer that Aleph Lamed, which is the beginning of the 13 Midas and contains all of the 13 Midas, Aleph Lamed means that Sar Aleph Lamed means the presence of Hashem that is there. It's just hidden, but there's a spark of God inside each and every one of us. the gadol koicha shel his galu zula eregam odom animse besada umidbar ruchani. We'll talk about the midbar more. When Hashem goes out in the month of Elul, which is the 13 meters, which is Aleph Lama, which means Hashem's infinite love and infinite, infinite connection to each Jew, which is awakened in the month of Elul, if a Jew at least, as we'll talk about in the next, and we're not going to get to it yet today, that a Jew at least seeks Hashem. So then, during the month of Elul, there's an amazing hisaris, an amazing, amazing awakening of what? Of Hashem Yisbarach's presence. Since he goes out to the field, and even to the midbar, which we'll talk more about, ruchani rachok ma'od mikdusha, even the person who is far from holiness, and who is living in the field or even in the desert, l'skarv al kadosh baruch hu, and through the mid of aleph lamed, which is the beginning of the 13 meters, through the mid of aleph lamed, Hashem is infinite essence. Reaches into the soul of a Jew to awaken that ember and the fire of what of that connection between him and that Jew. Ulam, however, k'moy shebamashal demelech besade, just like in the mashal of the king in the field, yesarch lotzeis mimkayim lekal pnei amelech, right? In the mashal, the Tanya was very careful to say that those who live in the field they go out towards the king. They move towards the city. The king leaves the city, but the chevra in the field goes towards the king. It means it's not going to happen to you. It's not going to happen to you, you know, lying back on your canoe someplace, you know, in Elul, waiting for the meters, 13 meters of Rakhim to you know, pull me out of my midbar, out of my sod. It's not going to happen. And your Elul could be the same as every other month, and the 13 meters of Rakhim will have no effect upon a person. Because in the Moshul, the Rebbe said that the chevra that live in the field, they have to make at least a movement towards the king. Lot says, Min koyim l'kabel p'nei ha-melech. In there's a mimer from the Rayatz on this Indian, beautiful, beautiful, mamish, makes you cry. This Indian of Lot says, Min koyim, which we'll have a few tears over here too, don't worry. You'll see in a minute. I mean, I'm not going to get to it today, but when he talks about the Eitzah Yehudzah, but you have to move towards the, you have to move something, happens towards the king, something. You have to move. Lot says from Kremla Kalpanemel. That's why even during the month of Elul, all the things that a person is more makbid, and especially then during a Sesame Tshuva, even though the whole year you see that this person is not so careful with certain things, all of those things that we have, these minhagim, but of course, you know, the danger with any minhag is it just becomes a minhag. A person doesn't think about it. That's why it's not just that during those times a person should follow the official things where a person is, where it's brought down that we should be more machmir, but everybody should try to do something to go out to the king. Lord says in Kram Lekal Pnei Mel, Kachu Benimshal, Shekidei Shegilu Yud Gimel Midas Arachim, the Chodesh Elul, that in order that the 13 Midas Arachim of the month of Elul, Yifal Pulosa Benafsho Shel Adam, should have what? The effect upon the soul, within the soul of a person. Kazeshu Bechinis Mid Baruchani, who is in the state of being in the desert or in the field. Sheyuchalis Karvelovis Baruch Bis Oyrus Ahavis Hashem Yiroso, that he should be able to begin to draw closer to Hashem with an awakening of love and fear. Sarach Adam Lotzeis Al Kol Panim or Al Kol Pachas. At least a person has to be Lotzeis, something more than usual, some Mesiris Nefesh, some going out of the self, some going out of oneself. Lotzeis Al Kol Panim Mekom Madrega, so which means what? Something beyond your normal Madrega, Mesiris Nefesh. Levakesh Ulechapes Es Hamelach. What? Some way of showing, of demonstrating that I'm looking for the king, that I want more of the king's presence in my life. It has to be something real, and more than what you're accustomed to, more than the usual. Whatever that is for that person. The Kabbalah, in order to be Mekabal upon oneself, O Malchusa Yisbarach, to accept upon oneself, Ol Malchusai Yisbarach. There has to be that Lotzeis on some level of a person going out from his Madrega, to go out to look for the king. Now, how that works and what that means, we're going to have to start with next time. I have an appointment. I have to be someplace at 9 in the area. But this, the Eitzah HaYi'utzah, so how does one, when a person is stuck, and you have no chesed for anything, and you don't feel like doing anything. Just, you know, you'll do what you usually do, but you have no inyan to go look for the king. So the Rebbe says, Ha'etzah Yutzah, says. So what's the Eitzah? What's the Eitzah for that lot, says, to go out to the king? Once you make the effort to go out to the king, the king will meet you. The king will meet you. But you have to, so I know that when we're learning this, everybody's thinking, yeah, but what if I don't want to go out to the king? Like, what if I don't feel like going to see the king at all? So then what? So that's what we're going to talk about in the Mishnah next week. The Eitzah Yutzah to go out to the king.